Good evening, Lehigh Valley. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse. And we have, I believe, a topic tonight that everyone's going to be interested in, whether you're an employer, whether you're someone looking for a position, whether you're looking to expand your operation. We're going to be talking about Lehigh Valley's talent supply and how we are addressing those needs now that we've had some research done. So just about anywhere you drive today in the Lehigh Valley, you'll see a help wanted sign. It may be a yard sign, it may be a billboard, a want ad, Craigslist. And Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation commissioned an education and talent supply study in 2018. And that study covered our five target industry sectors, which are manufacturing, business services, life sciences, transportation, warehousing, logistics, and healthcare. And they came up with seven key findings. So tonight we're going to be discussing those key findings as well as looking towards 2020 with the president of Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation, Don Cunningham, who is no stranger to this show. Welcome, Don.
Thank you, Sally. Good to be back.
Yeah,
Thank you.
It's nice to have you start out the year so people understand what's happening in the Valley, because we'll get into more than just talent supply about what's been going on.
Sure.
But just for those of you who may not, and you must be under a rock if you haven't heard of Don Cunningham, but he has been the president and CEO of Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation since 2012. He was the executive of Lehigh County. He was secretary of the Pennsylvania Department of General Services. And he was a mayor and, previous to that, a councilman for the city of Bethlehem. So, Don, you've been out there almost your entire life with serving the community, correct?
I have. I used to be the young guy. Now I'm getting to be the middle-aged, quickly aging guy. I've been fortunate. I've had a lot of really interesting jobs, and most of it based here in the Lehigh Valley.
And just keep on going, because I think whatever you've touched has really helped the Valley a lot.
Yeah, that's nice of you to say. It's my home. I grew up here, and my kids have grown up here, so it's nice to work on something that is your own backyard, and
yes,
you can see you can see some of the results every day.
Yeah, and sometimes it's hard, and one of your jobs has been to help people see what's in our own backyard, because sometimes it's so hard for when you're living someplace to really understand what is being accomplished. And so why don't you share just a few of the key highlights from 2018 as to what the Lehigh Valley has seen as far as economic development, business growth?
Yeah, I think there's some amazing things that are going on here that, as you said, Sally, you tend not to notice or have the comparative relevance of what's happening in your own backyard, because you're going about your life every day. It's just like the person who lives in Philadelphia and they've never visited the Liberty Bell. Right,
right. You know? Right.
Or you could say the same for people in the Lehigh Valley who have not visited great historic attractions that are here, because you don't think about it until somebody comes in from outside and you take them. But, some of the things that have developed that I think are noteworthy that people here might not realize is that the Lehigh Valley economy last year, for the first time, broke over $40 billion in gross domestic product.
Amazing.
That's the largest that our economic output has ever been in the history of the region, and that includes all the halcyon days of Bethlehem Steel and
Mack trucks
and so forth. So, and the other thing that most people wouldn't realize, and just to bring some perspective to that, what that says about what's coming out of this region is we're the 64th largest economy in the United States of America.
Wow, I didn't realize 64.
Yeah, 64th largest economy by output,
sure,
by economic. And those are federal government statistics measuring the total sum of all goods and services produced. And once a year, U.S. Department of Commerce breaks down where America's output comes from, both in terms of geography and in terms of sectors of the economy. So the Lehigh Valley is the 64th largest economic center in the United States of America. And we actually have more economic output coming out of our backyard than two states in the U.S., Vermont and Wyoming.
Okay.
We have more economic output coming out of our region, which is pretty interesting. Most people wouldn't necessarily think that. And second fact that probably most people wouldn't realize is that it's driven primarily by manufacturing.
That's a key, yeah. Especially with Bethlehem Steel and Mack Trucks not being at their prior levels.
So $7.4 billion of that, $40 billion, is coming from manufacturing.
Okay.
It's our second largest sector after insurance, finance, and real estate, which is a pretty broad category. But what's interesting about that is we've been growing in manufacturing, and we are the 50th largest economy for manufacturing in the United States. So
wow.
Just to bring some perspective, is that 18% of the Lehigh Valley's economy comes from manufacturing. For the United States of America, 13% of the U.S. economy comes from manufacturing.
Okay.
So we are well ahead of where the U.S. is on manufacturing. And the reason why people don't really probably realize this is that manufacturing today takes place in rectangular box buildings, mostly in the suburbs. We're doing fine in the city of Bethlehem, in the city on the old Bethlehem Steel land, and spots in the cities. But all those buildings that everybody generically calls warehouses, 40% of the activity in those buildings is manufacturing. And we have about 680 different manufacturers in the two counties. And people always say, well, what do we make? Well, bottom line is we make everything. I mean, we make everything from food and beverage and pet food, from obviously the obvious ones like guitars and at Martin Guitar. But we also have a growing life sciences sector where we're making more and more medical devices, medical products, medical diagnostic tests. Some people don't realize that OraSure Technologies, which is famous for developing the first saliva-based HIV test, also makes the kits for 23andMe.
I just learned
with the thing that everybody's doing now, looking at their like Ancestry.com, mm-hmm. and they're looking at their ancestry. That diagnostics was developed here, and those kits are processed here as well. So it's this wide range of manufacturers that are really driving the economy. Now, the other really large growth area that everybody has witnessed, and I always say is, for whatever reason, is the sector that everybody loves to hate, which is the e-commerce, which is the new retail, which is the direct-to-consumer. It's always interesting to me because everybody buys on their phone and on their tablet and on their laptop, but then they hate the fact that it has to get delivered. But we have 30,000 people working in the sector that people, as a misnomer, call warehousing. It's far from warehousing. These are production facilities with 600, 700, 800, 900 people working in them, processing the new retail, which the new retail is direct to consumer. You order it on your phone, it shows up at your doorstep. Fairies and storks aren't delivering it. It's coming through.
Are you sure?
Facilities, trucks, and it's getting delivered there. And it's having an incredible impact across the board on the Lehigh Valley economy.
Yeah, as a personal example, just last Friday, I ordered something on Chewy.com that I wasn't quite in need of right away, but I just thought, well, I'll get it, and then I have it. That was Friday. It showed up on my door Sunday.
Wow.
I don't know how they do that.
Well, it's part of why that's happening is because you ordered it in the Lehigh Valley. And we are one of the premier centers of the e-commerce retail industry in the country. And we're certainly, if not the largest, one of the top largest on the East Coast in terms of retailers being here, online aggregators, and now with the new FedEx center that can process up to 75,000 packages an hour. All the means to get that delivered. So you're going to get a product quicker here than somewhere else.
Yeah. So were you disappointed that we didn't get Amazon when we went for that headquarter East Coast?
Well, we knew it was a long shot.
Okay.
But I thought on two levels it would be good for us to pursue it. one within my own organization, which you mentioned, Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corp, that it would be a good test for our team to, because we respond to the RFPs and RFIs that come into the Lehigh Valley, where companies are looking at multiple locations in multiple states, to really kind of sharpen our game and sharpen our pencil on how to respond and put forward the best assets of the Lehigh Valley. But I also think the Lehigh Valley should be thought of in the same breath as any other mid-sized markets, whether it's Columbus, Ohio, or Nashville, or Charlotte, who are our competitors. There's no reason why, when there's a big search like that, that we shouldn't be included. Now, we knew just because of the sheer numbers, it was going to be a challenge. And some writers are now saying, was the whole Amazon nationwide procurement kind of a hoax, because they knew they were going to end up in the two of the top five markets in the U.S. I don't know. I mean, I think it was a good process for us to go for. You know, they ended up breaking the HQ2, the new headquarters, into two.
I know.
We could have handled it. We could have handled a proposal for 25,000 easier than 50,000. I think the 50,000 overwhelmed most communities.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, interesting. Well, despite that, we've had a lot of businesses within our own community growing, correct? This past year, your annual report or your end of the year listed, I know, Fresh Pet and a bunch of others are expanding their existing facilities, correct?
Yeah, we had another really strong 2018 was a good. We had about 25 to 26 projects that were more than $5 million in investment and more than 25 in employment, which is kind of a standard in the industry where we get measured against other regions and other communities. We had a lot more projects than that, but projects of size, you know, ranging from everything from a real marquee project up in the northern part of Northampton County, Air Liquide, which is a competitor company to Air Products, a manufacturing operation where they make materials for the semiconductor industry. Air Liquide has been in the Lehigh Valley, not very well known up in the northern part of Northampton County, but they're expanding and adding another 200 jobs and consolidating some of their production facilities from Jersey over in. You know, obviously got a lot of headlines, Air Products announcing that it's staying here and building a new headquarters, which opens up their existing land on the Trexlertown campus. Which has some interesting ramifications for some of the spinoff companies that came out of Air Products that we've been working with to remain here. So we across the board, B. Braun announced an expansion of its medical device manufacturing that they're breaking ground on this year. They announced last year. We had, you know, some corporate relocations and consolidations. ADP, which had a presence in the Lehigh Valley, they looked at five or six different markets to consolidate office and sales work into a region. They chose Allentown and City Center. They're going into City Center buildings downtown, much like Guardian did a couple years ago with its regional headquarters. So pretty much in every sector, we've seen growth of new coming into the market, that from life sciences to professional office, business services, and advanced manufacturing as well. So, which is, you know, really what leads to a lot of our focus now being on talent supply, workforce development, making sure that we have people with the right skills to support the companies that are here and to support growth.
Right. Right. Well, a while back, and I'm going to say, what has it been, Don? Maybe 3 years that you put together the Talent Supply Council at LVEDC to bring together various stakeholders in that?
The LVEDC board really broke some ground, and you may have been on the board
I think I was.
3 or 4 years ago, where I think ahead of the curve of a lot of areas in the country, recognize that the linkage of education and businesses and industry and employers and a focus on alignment of training, skills development, and where the jobs of the current economy are, they put a focus on that this is going to be a critical issue for economic development, economic growth. And they were right. So for the first time, economic development got involved in the issue of talent supply and skills. Now, we have a whole lot of great organizations across the Lehigh Valley that have been working in this area for a long time. The Workforce Development Board, which is really an arm of the Department of Labor, the Federal Department of Labor, and the State Department of Labor, is really at the forefront of a lot of this work. What we try to do is bring a regional strategic overlay of getting the education community, K through 12, the career and technical schools, the community colleges, the four-year schools, and some of the for-profit schools to the table with key sectors of our economy. You mentioned at the outset some of the strategic areas where we focused, and look at where is the economy, where do we have shortages, where can employers not find work or finding people short on skills, whether they be hard skills or whether they be soft skills, employability skills, things that, you know, you kind of take for granted, but we often hear from employers, people showing up for work on time, being dressed appropriately, calling in if they're sick, you know, not leaving without 2 weeks' notice, things that are kind of the etiquette, if you will, of being an employee and are kind of the fabric that make the system work, have gone wanting in some industries. So we have five groups right now working on very targeted strategies from this study that we did of our employers last year on trying to create mechanisms to improve the situation in the Lehigh Valley.
Okay. And as I recall, again, listeners, so you know, those five segments that were involved in the talent study that was done are healthcare, manufacturing, transportation, warehouse and logistics, high-value business services, and life sciences. Mm-hmm. And when the council decided that we needed to do a deeper dive, they went out and they got a consulting firm to come in and do a study. That's correct?
That's correct. I mean, we needed data. You can find reams and reams of data coming from the federal government or the state government. But what we really decided was we needed some Lehigh Valley-specific data, and the only way to do it is to go out and get it yourself. So we took that on. We received some support from the state financially. State Senator Pat Brown was very helpful in getting us a grant from the state as really a pilot program for Pennsylvania. For, you know, we're the third largest region in the state after Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, to kind of look at the full ecosystem of talent supply and to take a deep dive into surveying employers about gaps and looking forward about what occupations they're having the most challenges on hiring, what specific skills are in shortage. Now, we didn't have the resources to do every sector and Sure. every part of the economy. You mentioned the areas where we chose to focus for two reasons. One, they were larger and they had need. And secondly, they were desirable industries for us to focus on.
Yeah, interesting. Listeners, we're going to be taking a short break right now. And when we come back, we'll be talking about some of the key findings that this study that LVEDC commissioned last year thought about the five segments and what we need to think about in the Valley. So as we take this short break, realize my guest this evening is Don Cunningham, who's president and CEO of Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation. This is Sally Hanlon for Lehigh Valley Discourse.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Celtic Fair, a celebration of Celtic music and culture from its roots in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Brittany, and Galicia. to its branches in Australia, Cape Breton, Canada, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and the Lehigh Valley. Music, interviews, and a weekly culture calendar every Thursday from 7 to 9 here on WDIY.
Welcome back. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse with our guest this evening, who is Don Cunningham, who's president and CEO of Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation. The focus of our show this evening is talking about talent supply environment here in the Lehigh Valley. And before the break, we introduced the fact that Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation undertook a study in 2018 with an outside firm, MDB, who helped us figure out what we needed to do and recognize and provide us with some key findings about our workforce. Right. But as a part of this study, and you can find the study on LVEDC's website, lehighvalley.org. Don, let's go through some of the workforce characteristics that you found very interesting as you saw this report come through.
Well, I think the big picture thing that's important for people to understand is we're at a unique time in our history, certainly in my life history and my work here in the Lehigh Valley, and I'm 53, where we literally don't have, as we look forward, we have concerns about having enough workers for the jobs that are needed to fuel the economy. In the Lehigh Valley demographically, when you look at our population, we're a population area in the two counties of about 670,000 people and growing, but in terms of workers, we have about 91,000 workers that are in the age 55 to 64.
55 to 64,
yeah, 91,000.
Oh, my goodness.
So we have about 81,000 kids in the Lehigh Valley, age 6 to 15. So we have this natural shortfall of replacement because of everybody's read about the baby boom generation and the beginning of retirements, where you had those population explosions from 1946 to 64 of a million births or more a year across the U.S. Replacement of existing workers is an issue. Forget growth for a second.
Right.
Forget addition of new jobs. Forget addition of new companies. Just replacement of existing workforce. We have an issue demographically, and we're not alone. This is an America issue.
Okay.
And the growth regions of America, the areas that are economic centers that are growing, like the Lehigh Valley, are all experiencing the same challenges. That, in fact, last year in Northampton County, for the first time in recent history, we had more deaths than births. So from a natural process, we're not replacing people fast as losing it. So what does that tell you? You need to have migration in. That migration either has to be domestic, people moving from other counties in Pennsylvania, other states coming to the Lehigh Valley, or international immigration, which we all know what's going on, where we're kind of putting a damper on immigration in general across the country. I think it's unfortunate that we're so focused on a wall and we're not talking about smart immigration policy lined up with economic needs, employer needs.
Right.
Certainly we want to employ all the Americans we can first, but every economic boom in America's history, has been fueled by
immigrants, people
coming to America. And there is a need for that, again, when you start to, as demographers, look at the numbers. And we're seeing the same thing in the Lehigh Valley. So we start out with this landscape of, where do we get the workers for replacement? Where do we get the workers? How do we make sure they're trained? The economy creates new jobs with new skill sets quicker than education and training can retool because of technology and robotics and innovation, that new jobs with new skills are being created every day somewhere. So the regions that best link up their training and central to training become career and technical schools, 9th through 12th grade, which are not just for tradespeople. They're also for highly skilled operators of the shop floor, community colleges, which are much more nimble in creating certificate programs, non-credit programs, training for specific industries, and the four-year schools, which have a longer arc and curve on changing curriculum because of the nature of them. But having them lined up with the employer community is critical, and that's really what this work has done for the Lehigh Valley. Before we get into the numbers, let me just say we now know every kid in a technical school from 9th through 12th grade in the Lehigh Valley, how many are in each program, if they're in the ninth, if they're freshman year, sophomore year, junior year, senior year. Same for our community colleges and four-year schools. We've struck agreements for the first time to get real-time data from our schools.
Nice.
So if an employer comes in and says, how many welders will be coming out of Lehigh Valley schools next year? We can give an exact number of here's how many will be graduating, here's how many will be graduating in 2020, 2021, if those kids stay in those programs. That's the good news. Bad news is we don't have enough capacity for some of those needs. So we may graduate 20 kids a year with welding certificates coming out of either career and technical schools or community colleges, but the economy may be calling out for 50 or 60 just to replace what's being lost. So in some occupations, we don't have the capacity to replace as quickly as the need is there.
Okay. Is part of that the parents still pushing children towards a four-year degree versus a technical degree? Because that used to be the cry.
Yeah, some of that. I mean, I think that situation has gotten better with awareness. That there are jobs in manufacturing, and I'm on the advisory committee for all three of our vocational technical schools in the Lehigh Valley, and their enrollment has gone up.
It has, okay,
but you reach a limit on physical
capacity, yeah.
Space, equipment to train, and then even teachers to train, because you got to remember what a welder or an electrician or a plumber can make out in the private sector academy is much greater than what they're going to make if they leave and go teach high school kids. So you have to really rely then on maybe retirees coming back to teach or companies loaning instructors mm-hmm. to go out and mm-hmm. work, which is another part of what's going on with the work of this group, which is to try to increase capacity, find instructors, and then create, as you just mentioned, channels of understanding that families, kids know where the economy is. So maybe they link their education choices to outcomes, to where can I find work? And that, you know, but the good news is that enrollments have been growing in, you know, the vocational arts and the technical schools. But right now, as the economy stands, we actually need more.
Yeah, interesting. Well, you know, and over time, as you had mentioned earlier, you know, this is a pattern in the U.S. history of growth mm-hmm. because Bethlehem Steel mm-hmm. used to go to various countries to pull skilled workers or people mm-hmm. who were associated with particular processes into their because we didn't have enough here. So, and the South Side was a prime example of these little communities. So it's very interesting. Everything is sort of recycles.
Yeah, and it's what's good for the Lehigh Valley that in the state of Pennsylvania, which has 67 counties, we only have 14 counties that are experiencing population growth year after year. Lehigh and Northampton are growth counties.
Okay.
And I just mentioned earlier that there were more deaths than births last year in Northampton County. So that tells you that people are moving here. People are moving here from other parts of the country, and there is international migration into the Lehigh Valley. So the net result is that we are seeing growth, but that growth is critical to support the economy here right now. And part of the growth we're seeing in certain industries, companies are coming here because there are people here. There are people here to work, and we're in a great location for manufacturers and
living.
Online retailers. and for living. But what has occurred is what we call our labor shed. The area from which we draw people to work in the Lehigh Valley has gotten broader. We now have about 92,000 people a day that travel into the Lehigh Valley from other counties to work here. That we are a job center for Carbon and Schuylkill and Monroe and the eastern part of Berks County and the upper Philadelphia suburbs. Conversely, we have about 99,000 people a day who leave Lehigh Valley zip codes to go work in other areas, oftentimes because there's a wage differential, because more can be made in New York, North Jersey, Philly, the Philly suburbs, and they trade commute time to take higher wages and bring them back to, you know, maybe a lower cost of living area.
Let's talk about that a little bit, because I was one of those travel out years ago when I worked in Philadelphia, and my life was on the road by 5:30. I got home by 8:30 and I was in bed by 9. I mean, what kind of life was that?
Yeah,
it was crazy.
Hopefully you were saving a lot of, earning a lot of money.
I was doing better. Yeah, I was doing better. But let's talk about the wages, because as a consultant to some small businesses, I help my businesses at times seek employees. Mm-hmm. And when I do a search and research and find out what a particular type of employment is paying in the region, in the mm-hmm. Lehigh Valley, like I'll say like maybe social media, I'll just pick a fee mm-hmm. of like $62,000 for mm-hmm. somebody who has experience in social media. And my client, who's a small business, wants all those skills for $42,000. I mean, I can't right. help them make that adjustment. We haven't sort of made that adjustment in the Valley, knowing that we've got to up our fees, our reimbursement.
Well, you've touched on a very important part of this whole discussion when you hear employers say, I can't find someone for this job, which is central component of this whole topic we're talking about, talent supply, workforce support. You know, the next question has to become, well, what are you willing to pay?
Right.
What are your benefit packages? Because there are two very different answers to this. Is do we not have anybody, or do we not have anybody willing to work for what you think they're worth?
Right.
So
correct.
This is a challenging conversation with employers in the Lehigh Valley. You just made reference to, you know, people's minds sometimes think, well, 20 years ago, I could get it for this.
Right.
Well, you know, the Lehigh Valley is a growth market. And one of the interesting dynamics that have taken place here that have been heavily driven by online retail is that we essentially have a market-driven minimum wage in the Lehigh Valley of about $15 an hour, meaning that you can have really no skills, limited skills, high school diploma or less, and have competitive opportunities to go find employment that will pay you $15 to $16 an hour to start. Now, what's interesting about that is there are cities that are, you know, that's double federal minimum wage. There are cities now like New York and San Francisco that are passing local laws saying $15 an hour is required minimum wage for basic level living standards. In the Lehigh Valley, the market has essentially created that without legislation, without oversight. And that ripple effect now, even into places like the healthcare networks, Lehigh Valley and St. Luke's, that are our largest employers, you know, they have low-paying jobs within the health network. They're not all heart surgeons and nurses
right.
and technicians. They're now paying more because a minimum wage worker that you used to be able to get for $9, $10, $11 an hour now have options. Now, in general, I feel as a lifelong Lehigh Valley resident, that's better for the community, that people have the resources, better resources to live, to reinvest, to buy things. But it certainly sent a ripple through, you know, people who hire seasonal workers,
correct.
High school kids, college kids, fast food, you know, the Sheets or the Wawa. You know, there's wage pressure now at the lower end created by e-commerce and fulfillment, which has 30,000 people working in it.
Wow. That's an incredible number.
And then when you get into the higher end wages, you know, the interesting dynamic is that the Lehigh Valley on a whole, here we sit between North Jersey and New York and Philly and the Philly suburbs, are much higher paying markets. And they're accessible. Mm-hmm. They're 30, 40, 50 miles away. They're commute accessible. And, you know, interestingly, when we talk to companies about coming here, one of the things we sell is that the average job pays 10 to upwards of 25% less in the Lehigh Valley than in New York or New Jersey. And it's just a matter of time until that
narrows.
Gap closes.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what you're seeing when you have clients who say, well, I only want to pay 42, but they want 60.
Yeah.
That's going to become a real issue.
And the other thing that the clients, I don't think my clients realize, is the end result. You can maybe find somebody at that lower end, but your turnover, your revolving door, and the cost of trying to train and retrain and all that kind of stuff is significant.
Right. That's why you see companies now, like if the listeners took notice of Freshpet, which is a booming company, which is based here. All their products are made in the Lehigh Valley. They really have dominant share of the upper end of the pet food market, the quality pet food, no additive preservatives, frozen in the freezer section of the grocery store. They're giving stock options
to
production workers.
That's great.
You know, they're manufacturing workers, but they're getting stock options, which it's kind of cool to see, I think, because, you know, that was something that was always just reserved for executives.
Right.
And now regular employees. But they're a good company with, you know, that cares about its workers. But they're not just doing that to be nice people. They're doing that because they want to be the employer of choice. They want to be able to hire the best people at those levels and keep them there. Exactly what you just said. They don't want that turnover of somebody leaving for another dollar an hour every 6 months.
Well, and plus it gives a feeling of ownership in the corporation, which I think a lot of the businesses don't realize. And we tend sometimes to take our employees for granted. And so we don't clue them in. We figure it's like osmosis, you know, look at it, because we just are living it. And that's not true. You know, you need to include them, make them a part, and get their loyalty, so to speak.
Well, that's a good point, too, because one of the other aspects of this whole arena of training and skills are that such specific skills requirements are created through technological evolution and development and robotics that it's very difficult for colleges and technical schools to keep pace with that. So employers have to realize that those specific training skills are on them, that somebody isn't going to show up on day one with those specific skills. And sometimes when we talk about skills gap or shortages, employers may be looking for the perfect scenario. Somebody who shows up on day one fully trained with every skill that's imaginable to operate that piece of equipment. And it's not going to work that way. The best we can hope for out of our schools and technical and career institutes is a solid base level of skill in that profession or that trade that can then be layered onto by employers.
Yeah. Well, and I think when I used to employ folks, I liked sort of the blank screen that I could help develop the individual versus having somebody come in thinking they already know it anyhow, and then they're wrong. It's a crazy way to be.
Yeah.
Listeners, this time is going fast with Don Cunningham. It always does when Don is a guest. Mm-hmm. We are going to be taking another short break. My guest again is Don Cunningham, President and CEO of Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation. This is Sally Hanlon for Lehigh Valley Discourse.
WDIY offers many choices and real voices.
This is George Fennell. Join me and other hosts each weekday from 9 a.m. to noon for WDIY Classics. Medieval to Baroque, romantic to modern, along with concert information and artist interviews.
WDIY is the Lehigh Valley's local source for NPR news, public affairs, and diverse music at 88.1 FM and streaming on WDIY.org.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back. If you just tuned in, again, you're listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse this evening, tonight with our guest, Don Cunningham, who's president and CEO of Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation. And we are focusing on or talking about the talent supply environment here in the Lehigh Valley. The Economic Development Corporation undertook a study in 2018 to understand what our environment for talent was, what are the five or six key things that we need to understand about talent. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. Now, we're not going to get into all the details of all the five industries. We just can't keep you on here for hours. But if you go to lehighvalley.org onto the LVEDC website, you will see this report and you can drill down and get the specific information. But the key findings were around six or seven areas. They were looking at skilled workforce, hiring, labor availability, employability skills, talent strategies, education, and opportunities. So because of the growth of our transportation logistics business, I asked Don if he would maybe drill down on that particular one to talk about it and the key findings in that particular industry for the Lehigh Valley.
Well, and in general, Sally, I mean, if you look at this situation, you've got both a quantitative and a qualitative challenge, right? So one being pure numbers of workers. You know, you can't make more people overnight. You have to have...
They can't?
Yeah.
They can't do that.
There's
in
a little
those
lead time. It takes 9 months and then 18 years to grow them and raise them. So, but you have one issue, which is just pure numbers, right? So certain industries are looking for large numbers of employees in the sector you mentioned, what I call the new retail, which is really, you know, ordering online and having that delivered, and then commensurate with that is more wholesale distribution of goods from one supply center to various retail stores, which is all taking place in the Lehigh Valley. That's somewhat of a numbers game, where the skills required are limited. The pay is quite good, going up. I mean, it's not that $15 an hour translates to $32,000 or $33,000 a year, so people are just going to barely get by on that.
Correct.
But it really beats the what is the minimum wage of $7 or $8 an hour, which oftentimes people in bricks and mortar retail aren't making much more than that.
Correct.
A store clerk at the old Bon-Ton or even at Macy's or something may only be making $10, $11, or $12 an hour. So that sector is in large part a numbers game in terms of, do we have enough population and are people willing to work hard enough to do that? There's one aspect of it where we do see a shortage, which is truck drivers. As e-commerce grows across the country and across the world, there's more need to move goods. There's clearly one of our shortages is on the trucker side. And there's a lot of work going on to fulfill that. That's really a reality across America.
You know, it's interesting you say that, Don, because my husband is very much into ordering online. I'm a little less because of my retail background. But he was talking to a driver who dropped something off at the house last week. This guy has, and I'm going to get this wrong, but either way, it's a lot, either 380 or 500 stops a day.
Mm-hmm. It was probably one of the delivery companies, FedEx, or UPS,
I don't remember.
Or the Postal
yeah.
Service.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as most people listening probably realize that FedEx just completed its largest FedEx ground facility east of the Mississippi here right above the airport in the Lehigh Valley that can process up to 75,000 packages a day. They are the new store clerks. They're the ones delivering your product to you, and now you have this whole development of people buy it and then they try it on, and then if it doesn't fit, they just return it, and then somebody picks it up and takes it back, and then they bring the new size back. My wife does it all the time. I'm still nervous about ordering jackets and certain things online because I want to know that it fits. But she's just like, well, you just send it back. And they come back. So imagine the number of trips that are coming back, just as the clerk used to maybe go back and forth to the stock room and bring that out on the shop floor. That's what's taking place now. It requires a whole – it's a huge growing workforce.
Absolutely.
I mean, FedEx has hired up to 1,000 new people in processing and in delivering. And then during the holidays, those workers are really pushed.
Yeah.
And they're working double shifts. They're working with no days off to meet the seasonal demand that comes with that sector of e-commerce. And as I said earlier, we've become a hub of that. And people may say, well, why have we become a hub of that? It's all market-driven. We had available land, available workers, and we're in a location where 40% of the consumers are in the United States are within an eight-hour drive.
Right.
So because we're in the middle of this massive population center on the East Coast with good infrastructure to get in and out. You know, clearly this has put some strain on the road networks and traffic lights and roads that need to be widened. It opens up a whole discussion on why aren't we using our freight rail systems more heavily instead of trucks. And the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission's really been at the forefront of trying to catch up. And we will catch up. Mm-hmm. I mean, I will say to those folks out there that don't like what's going on, I will say that economically it's been wonderful for a lot of people who otherwise wouldn't have had opportunities. And we'll catch up on the infrastructure that levels out any of the choke points. But the private sector is always going to be ahead of where the public sector is on roads, and do we need a traffic light, and does the road need to be widened from two lanes to three lanes? But these are the issues that come with trying to create jobs for all people in an economy. And, you know, a lot, 38% of our workforce is high school diploma or less. That's higher than national average. That's part of the legacy of the Lehigh Valley, both in terms of you could carve out a living here with a high school diploma for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
Generationally, families have experienced
sure.
that kind of life. And the new immigration. You know, we do have immigration, not in the formal sense, because a lot of migration out of American territories like the island of Puerto Rico, which has been the fastest growing segment of the new folks coming to the Lehigh Valley.
Yeah, interesting. Well, Don, when you were looking at the findings that came out, were there any sort of ahas or anything that sort of struck you as that you really different or unusual or that you weren't anticipating?
Well, you know, for me, probably no, just because of the fact that I've been so deeply immersed in this that we kind of had a pretty good sense anecdotally. I think, you know, it reinforced some things we believed, which was that manufacturing is growing. Manufacturing has a demand for more high-skilled jobs than it used to have, machinists, equipment operators, you know, we're seeing a shortfall on the shop floor to support manufacturing growth, which we knew. We probably didn't know to the extent that that was happening. Even professions like engineers, that engineers would work in a manufacturing environment, we heard our employers say they're difficult to find, they're difficult to hire, they're difficult to retain. So some of where we're going on all of this is common sense, but it doesn't happen on a macro level, which is developing familiarization with where the economy is with students. You know, internships programs, apprenticeship programs, getting kids at the high school level and the college level connected to companies, right? So we have 10,000 students every year graduating from schools based in the Lehigh Valley. And some of them return to their home markets where they came from. Some of them we we don't necessarily have a volume of jobs for what they were studying, like finance. You know, a lot of kids who go to Lehigh who come here from Jersey or Connecticut or Massachusetts get a finance degree. Their intent is to go to Wall Street, to be investment bankers and be finance. We don't have that robust, you know, profession here. But a lot of them, there is opportunity here that they're not aware of. So part of where we're going on this is creating a regional database of workforce and professional training opportunities for both employers and employees and schools to access what internship programs are available, what companies are looking to tap in to students to make that connection earlier on with families and students. Also, the multi-generational. You mentioned, I think, I can't remember if it was on air or off air.
I think it was off air.
But having people work, there's opportunities for people to work past 64, past 65, if they wish to.
Right.
There's a lot of opportunity there. Those 99,000 people a day who commute out of the Lehigh Valley, who are they? What are their skills? Where are they going to work? You know, we sit here right in the middle of the pharmaceutical belt of the East, where you've got all kinds of pharma companies in Jersey and suburban Philly. We have some elements of pharma, mostly packaging, distribution, cold storage. But we've got a lot of pharma workers who live here and drive elsewhere.
Yeah.
Can we recruit companies around that base of workers that are here that would love to stay in the
local
Lehigh Valley
yeah.
instead of driving, you know, 45 minutes or so into North Jersey? So there's a lot more we need to understand about even our students who come from the Lehigh Valley, who go off to schools elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
They go to Pittsburgh. Or they go to somewhere in Ohio. They should be coming back.
Yeah.
They don't realize there's job opportunities here. How do we link to get those kids connected to internships in the summer and availability? So what we're trying to create is more of this macro-level awareness and connection between jobs, employers, growing industries, skill sets, and the pipeline of students at the high school and college level.
So one of the things, having worked at one of the local colleges, I found when I was there that a lot of the professors were in a textbook environment. They weren't in a real environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure some of that happens at, you know, K through 12 as well. How do you get to those teachers, to have them be at least enlightened that these types of opportunities exist?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's a good, really, it's almost like the example of train the trainers, where, you know, you do need to get to the guidance counselors and the teachers so they're aware of where the economy is, what the needs are, and that's trickling down into what they're telling kids or what they're teaching kids. The elements of the K through 12 that are probably most clued in are the career and technical institutes.
Correct, yeah.
You know, LCTI, which is fed by all the Lehigh County public schools, Bethlehem Vo-Tech and CIT here in the eastern side, where they have advisory committees of employers that mm-hmm. are coming into the school, that are interfacing with the administrators and the teachers
okay.
on what's going on. We need that happening more just at the high school and at the middle school level. And that's really what this Talent Supply Council is focused on doing. The interesting thing is both the supply side and the demand side sit on the council. So the employers are in an environment with the educators and are in these five different work groups right now to try to create these linkages. So the Lehigh Valley is doing, you know, as good of a job or better than any region in terms of linking it. It becomes a challenge in a technological world because the other issue that, you know, we probably don't even have time to get into is where are robotics and technology going to take us in terms of the number of jobs, right? So in e-commerce and fulfillment, you might have 800, 900, 1,000 people in an Amazon production facility now, but what's that going to look like in 5 years or 10 years? And maybe it's certainly going to be less.
Right.
Same thing that's happened to manufacturing in America, where our production is up historic numbers, but total jobs is less
down, right.
Because you need higher trained, better qualified people, less work, more productivity because machines are doing it.
Right.
You know, that's the other wrinkle in this whole equation.
Well, and it's so hard. I mean, the effort of the educators today in this disruptive economy, mm-hmm. And it's not just technology. There's a lot of other things happening. Mm-hmm. But what's the best way to prepare a student to be able to be flexible and adapt and challenge them to learn on their own, that it's not just always going to be, you know, school learning?
Right. And that's really the argument for the four-year liberal arts. You know, get back to the basics, teach them how to learn, give them a broad-based education, and let them adapt as the economy changes. And I wouldn't want to be a teacher or an administrator in the public schools or the colleges right now, because we are in a historic era of our time economically, where we're experiencing a technological explosion.
And
we don't know where it's going to end up.
And that's exciting and it's scary. And I'm sure...
Well, the kids are excited. You know, the nice thing is we're about the same generation, you know, that's the 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds that are... they love it and they're creating it. And there's entrepreneurs out there every day, every minute, trying to think of better, smarter ways to do things. And like you said, it's not just all about technology. Yeah. Some of it's about process and just ideas on how to do things. And you have this constant evolution, which makes this work very interesting, but it makes it tough. Because at some level, you're trying to create a structure for today, because you have to meet the demands of the here and now. And you're somewhat guessing at where the tomorrow is. And this study does look ahead. It does. But as soon as you get data, it's old.
Right.
You know,
right.
So we acquired this data in the first half of 2018. We published it in July of last year. And my guess is that in general, it's still good. But it's that quickly it gets outdated. You need to keep this cycle going in real time.
Yeah. It's incredible. And as far as someone listening, Don, right now, if they're an employer or even if they're looking mm-hmm. for employment as maybe an apprentice or an mm-hmm. intern, is there any structure set up yet, or do you anticipate that through the, maybe Workforce Development Board, there's a way to connect? Or
there is. I mean, it's Workforce Development Board, which is our partner in this, is at the forefront of creating a lot of these programs. I mean, my first response would be to get in touch with the Workforce Development Board or us.
Okay.
We have Valley Economic Development because there's a lot of good work already in place. There's a lot of ways we can help employers get connected to schools, internship, apprenticeship programs. And even some, we'd like to talk to them more about what's going on in their workplace. In fact, you might have seen this week through Lehigh Valley Business, we've launched a survey, a three-question survey.
I saw the survey. I didn't know it was being through you guys.
I would encourage people to respond to that.
Okay.
Because that's a way of us continuing to get ongoing data and to get more employers linked into this effort. So that went out broadly. And we hope to get more engagement from it.
Yeah. Well, that's terrific. I saw that. I didn't delete it yet from my mailbox, so I'll go back and I'll take care of that.
Yes.
Don, I can't thank you enough. This has been so interesting. I mean, I realize that I've had some familiarity with this, but I'm hoping that our listeners got a good overview of, you know, what we're doing here in the Valley, the importance of this issue, and the fact that we're on top of it. You said we were a pilot program, hopefully, for the state. And, you know, hopefully that'll get us more opportunities as we go forward.
You know, 5 years ago, I never would have thought I'd be doing this kind of work, that this would be the most important work in economic development, but it is today.
Yeah. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight on Lehigh Valley Discourse. And as I said before, Don, thank you so much for your time. I know you're a pretty busy guy, and
I appreciate you
supporting this. And our Director of Operations, Neil Heaver, thank you for being a part of this and keeping us on track. This is Sally Hanlon for Lehigh Valley Discourse.